How can you see into my eyes like open doors? Leading you down into my core, where I become so
on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network, and as always, thanks for coming along for the ride, and a wild and dystopic ride it is. I'm your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be, and as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. I want to begin today's broadcast by going through those two articles that I mentioned yesterday. I never really got to them the way that I wanted to, but or had intended to, but we'll do that today. So, and then we'll move on. Very, very strange things happening these days. And as I said yesterday, looking at the headlines lately, I would say the glasnost effect is in full effect. And what do I mean by that? Well, glasnost, of course, was the Gorbachevian policy of openness and transparency in Soviet Russia in the late 1980s. And as the Wikipedia entry for glasnost puts it, in in the late 1980s, Soviet government came under increased criticism as a result of this policy of glasnost, or openness and transparency, and members of the Soviet population were more outspoken in their view that Soviet government had become a failure. Glasnost did indeed provide freedom of expression and change citizens' views toward the government, which played a key role in the demise of the Soviet Union. And today in America, we see the same kinds of forces being applied on our society. There are a number of strange headlines. For example, over at republicbroadcasting.org right now, you can see headlines. Here are some of the headlines. CBS, Wisconsin company to microchip employees. And we've been waiting for that for over 10 years. There's the company overseas, I forget whether it's Switzerland or Sweden, but somewhere in that region, there's a company that has been doing this for, I believe, over a decade now. And you remember, for example, in Aaron Russo's Freedom of Fascism, America, Freedom of Fascism, he talked about this. It was published back in 2006. So this obviously is not a new subject, but it's starting to happen. And by the way, speaking of this RFID technology, some listeners who have been listening to this broadcast for a very long time may recall that I mentioned a long time ago, about 10 years ago, that Jim Lewis over at CSIS, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, one of the preeminent think tanks these days, a think tank, by the way, that had, before he passed away, Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger on its board. That should tell you about all you need to know, among other nefarious old school bad guys. But Jim Lewis over at CSIS wrote a paper, I think it was published back in 2006, and he talked about the fact that there were a number of generations of RFID technology, and the grain of rice that we saw paraded before people was not the actual technology they intended to roll out. It was something to soften people up to the idea, to acclimate you to the idea. So the real technology had already been developed, he wrote in his paper, and this current generation of technology that people were talking about was just something to kind of soften people up and prepare. It was something to say no to in sales terms, I think was the way that he put it. Something to say no to so that eventually they could roll out the real technology that they intended to implement, and everyone will say, well, that's much better. So that's kind of a fun little aside on those kinds of stories. So CBS, Wisconsin company to microchip employees. Fun stuff, eh? And just a brief little excerpt on that story. The story from Health Nut News is the excerpt reads, "We've known for some time that RFID technology would eventually be used on us." Kind of like Naze. Remember when Naze was popularized for livestock? We're all just herd creatures anyway, isn't that? People are have gotten used to calling themselves herd animals. That's a pejorative. That's not supposed to be an endearing term. So the article, the excerpt reads, "We've known for some time that RFID technology would eventually be used on us." And that's a capitulatory phrase. I don't think that I agree with that. You probably don't either. I'm not. There's no way that technology is ever going to be used on me unless by force. And I wouldn't put it past certain people to do that. But and even by force, it's questionable, if you know what I mean. So we've known for some time that RFID technology would eventually be used on us, and it appears that time is now. Again, that's the capitulatory sentence, as I would put it. Beginning on August 1st, Three Square Market, a company that provides software technology for break room or micro markets, will be offering their employees microchip implants, the tiny RFID chips, which will be implanted between the thumb and forefinger, will be used to scan into the building, purchase food at work, and log into computers. And, of course, while continuing, the decision to be implanted is theirs, and the company expects at least 50 employees to sign up. So a lot of people have been encouraged to believe this is a good thing, even though it's not, and there will be conveniences. And, of course, as things continue to get worse, people will be offered incentives to do things like this. And of course, you know, if I get a dollar or two an hour raise, or free food at the at the company cafeteria, or some other benefit, and there will be benefit incentives. But we're on a dangerous trend right now, and we're on a precipice, and we don't understand. I don't think most people fully understand just how dangerous the precipice is. And speaking of Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism, I would encourage folks to watch it again. It was kind of visionary, quite frankly, in a number of ways. You watch, for example, the scene where the guy calls in to the local pizza place, and they have the software that knows everything about him. He just got his latest cholesterol reading from his doctor, and so they have to tax him because he has high cholesterol, and have to tax him for this and for that. Well, that's what national health care will eventually do. I'm surprised it hasn't happened already, but that's kind of the plan. If you can nationalize health care and make it a mandatory product that everyone has to purchase, which is a bizarre concept, especially in America. It's bizarre, just period, but in America in particular, the insurance concept is a Ponzi scheme. It was broken up. Look up the Tontine Ponzi scheme for an example on that. But as I have said for a long time, I think it encourages bad behavior. What do I mean? Well, automobile insurance, for example, encourages folks to buy expensive automobiles on credit that they can't really afford, and insure them minimally, a deductible perhaps that they can afford, perhaps full coverage, and then that encourages, generally speaking, bad or aggressive driving tendencies. And if you think about it, if the average person had to buy their automobile outright and then self-insure or not insure, imagine how much different the driving habits would be. People would be much more defensive in their driving posture. The same holds true in health insurance. I know a number of people who have what they call excellent benefit packages, and so they don't really worry about taking good care of their body. A number of them think they are. They run all the time and so forth, but they'll run through injuries and exercise through injuries and not realize that or maintain awareness that this is their one body that they get. Instead, they've bought the lie that science and technology and the healthcare professionals have told them, which is, that's okay, we can fix it. They've bought into this mindset that their body is, it's like a used car. It needs to be brought in for a checkup every once in a while and tuned up. And you know what? Sometimes there's a recall on parts and we can replace them and make them better. They've bought into that lie. And that is patently false. reminds me of the Bible, you know, lying science and false wonder. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This intriguer that gets people buying into these myths, like the myth that somehow science and technology, or man and his religion of scientism, science as a religion, can somehow improve upon God's work in the body. People will say, well, people are born with birth defects and all kinds of other things, so you don't want them to live a great life. Yes, of course I do, but I'm not going to play God. And we don't know what his purpose is. Remember, I've mentioned the example numerous times of the man who was born blind. The disciples ask, they asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? Was it because he sinned or because his father sinned? The story in John chapter 9, Jesus saw a man who had been blind since birth. Disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him this day. So we never know. We never know. And it's not for us to try to play God. When we do that, we start to fall into that that group and that mindset that I have talked about the last several days. Romans chapter 1 in particular. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's not a place we want to be. Then we actually compound the error and the problems. And that's kind of what we're seeing today. Although the scientism community, science as religion, is trying to tell us that science can heal the world and make everything better. Not true. It's interesting. It's kind of a false dichotomy. They create the problem and then they present the solution, which is a psychosis that we see kind of rampant in society as well. In fact, we might play a video to that effect later on in the broadcast. Anyway, very, very disturbing stuff. And like I said, I would encourage folks to, if you haven't already, or even if you have, go back and watch Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism, because a number of it's a very provocative, timely, even today, prescient film, especially with the issue of national health care in view. And like I said, the microchipping nonsense, that is something that was, remember, we talked about that nearly 10 years ago when Obamacare was being passed. The fact that implantables was in the legislation, and people said, nah, it doesn't mean what it says. Really, it doesn't mean what it says. Okay, that's interesting. So now we're just passing legislation that doesn't mean what it says. Or what if it does mean what it says? That's disturbing. So anyway, there's a lot of other strangeness in the headlines, not the least of which, again, headlines over at republicbroadcasting.org. Here's another one from yesterday. FBI seized smashed hard drive from Wasserman Schultz's Pakistani IT guy's home. We'll talk more about the Awan brothers and W. Wasserman Schultz.
Nutramedicals Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world, as a calcium, magnesium, potassium sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C+, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C+ also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C+ is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it, today.
Welcome back. We are in an awful mess, an awful, awful mess. Where to begin? Because, I tell you, it really seems like things are heating up and not in a good way. I mentioned some things last week. The kind of behavior that we're more and more exhibiting, this kind of viciousness that coincides with narcissism, narcissistic personality disorder, histrionic personality disorder, sociopathy, and a number of other personality disturbances and disorders. As we become more selfish, more corrupt and vicious, as the founders would put it, and of course, there are those laundry lists of symptoms in the New Testament. For example, Romans chapter 1. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, evil, full of envy. Murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God. Insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Inventors of evil. Think about that. Without under, and disobedient to parents. Again, the commandment to honor your father and mother is the first commandment of the promise. So, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which your Lord, which the Lord your God gives you. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land, that you may live a long, happy life. That's a, concept that's reiterated in places like Hebrews. The disobedient to parents, I think, generally speaking, people are, I mean, you see it everywhere. Even what is considered decent or perhaps neutral or benign behavior to me looks disrespectful. Parents, inventors of evil, seems quite in a quite literal sense, I would say, applies to the technocratic community and field, and even STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, all of that. This is what we're doing. It's inventing evil because, again, science as a religion, seeks to supplant God. These people, they envision it. And they operate by that mantra that if the mind of man can conceive it and believe it, he can achieve it. And if I can envision it, then I can do it. Well, under the umbrella of conscience was kind of how that used to work. And now, of course, that has been abdicated, unfortunately. So inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give party approval to those who practice. Sounds like America. Talk more about what I mean when we come back. Stick around. All right, after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns, their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance, he's going for speed.
Welcome back. Oh my goodness, we're in an awful mess. Getting back to what I was saying. So again, there are a variety of ways of saying it, but as we descend on this downward spiral, in this death spiral, really. You know, as the founders put it, again, virtue, morality, and religion, those are the great pillars of society, as George Washington put it in his farewell address, the great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. Virtue, morality, and religion. Patrick Henry said it very, very, he put it very aptly when he said, he wasn't so much alarmed at the apprehension of military encroachment from abroad as the destruction of the great pillars of all government and of social life, is the way that he put it in his letter back in 1799. And he said, I mean virtue, morality, and religion. This is the armor, my friend, and this alone that renders us invincible. These are the tactics we should study. If we lose these, we are conquered, fallen indeed. So long as our manners and principles remain sound, there is no danger. And today I would submit to you that we have all but forgotten that history. And as a result, we are becoming more vicious, more debauched in our manners, and we have embarked on this downward spiral, this downward course. It's very dangerous. To be sure. So let me just get to examples. And like I said, there are the laundry lists of the character abnormalities, disturbances, personality disturbances and disorders, as we might call them, from the Bible, if we want to sit, you know. And again, we've talked about the subject matter before. You know, people will try to make the distinction secular and, you know, your the biblical and the secular. There's only one life. So there really is no distinction. That's another false dichotomy that is created for a specific reason to fracture your psyche. And again, James chapter 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and ought to expect nothing. Those words should come to mind, but there are those character flaws, like the list that I mentioned from Romans chapter 1. The antidote or the solution to those is, as I said last weekend, yesterday, 2 Peter chapter 1. That's the antidote. Do that. Applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Paraphrasing slightly there at the end of 2 Peter chapter 1. But that's the operative concept. That's the antidote. That's what we should be doing. Instead, we have all kinds of nonsense going on. You know, I mentioned these character disturbances. I'll just get to the two examples that kind of come to mind. John McCain's diagnosis, the brain tumor. To hear people essentially celebrating and gleeful and gloating about someone having brain cancer is despicable. I really don't understand how people think it's okay to celebrate that the fact that someone has been diagnosed with a brain tumor, with brain cancer. I'm not a McCain supporter, fan, apologist, sympathizer, none of that. I think that his service to his country is an oxymoron. I think it's reprehensible, going back to the Keating 5 days and perhaps before, obviously, Songbird McCain. I don't think any of what some would construe as his service to his country is honorable, in my opinion. But still, he's still a person like any of the rest of us, and he has a family. And it's reprehensible, I think, to dehumanize one another to this level that we would gleefully celebrate someone's brain cancer diagnosis. That's despicable. And yet, look around the interwebs. You'll find people gleefully celebrating about that, which I think is not far removed from the story about Washington's new DUIE law that took effect last Sunday. The 23rd, I believe. This is crazy. This is what happened. And that's what we hear. When we become, again, as the founders have said, I believe that there is a direct connection. When we become more debauched in our manners, this is what we see. And the sales pitch is always what it, it's always the same. It's always this, what I call, reverse beggar thy neighbor approach, or beggar thy neighbor. In other words, balkanization is a way to divide people up. And it sounds so seductive. There's always the seductive argument that we need to do this because. So what I mean is, remember, from the discussion of balkanization, the bigger thy neighbor approach is when you seek benefits for a small minority at the expense of the majority, or at the inconvenience, at the very least, of the majority. And in reverse fashion, it's when you punish the majority because of the sins of a minority. And that's the argument that is given, or was given, kind of the sales pitch. Tina Meyer talked about her son who was killed by a distracted driver. He was a flagger at a construction site in December of 2015. He was struck by a distracted driver. And so that's the sales pitch. And that of course is very tragic and unfortunate. But see, now the herd is being punished, and again, herd is a pejorative. But the herd is being punished for the sins of one person. And you'll hear in this clip that we're going to play that people, well, this will teach people. This isn't going to teach people anything. Passing new laws never teaches anyone anything. In fact, we quickly forget them in an 8-second attention span society. Again, just 1 second less than a goldfish, kind of where we're at. So how is that going to teach anyone anything in this idiocracy of today? What would be better is if we go back, and this is targeting young people. Well, they're being raised this way. They're being raised to believe, again, these personality disturbances and disorders that I talked about last week, that lead them to believe that they're special, and really there are no other people. They're the only person that exists on the planet, and all these other people are just kind of extensions of the self, or actors in their own little personal melodrama, little hand puppets and finger puppets. That's what these millennials in particular are being led to believe, raised to believe. A completely self-oriented perception of the world. That's supposed to, as I said when we were talking about this last week, that's supposed to end. We call it the terrible twos because that's kind of the moment when little Johnny or little Sally really comes, is fully confronted with the reality that the world doesn't, or at least no longer, revolves around them. That's an uncomfortable transition, but you know what? It's one that we're all supposed to make so that we have a healthy interaction with our fellow citizens, with our fellow countrymen, family, friends, neighbors, etc. So I believe the one leads to the other, or at the very least, they are connected. In other words, seeing folks gloating that John McCain is diagnosed with a brain tumor is not far removed from the story of Washington's new DUIE law, which took effect last Sunday, 23rd. Ridiculous. So here's that story. I'll give you that. If you haven't heard so far, like I said, the DUIE law for driving under the influence of electronics outlaws holding a cell phone at any time driving unless you call 911. It even prohibits picking up a phone at stoplights. Play the clip for you. But first, let me just play this. I saw a comment by a lady named Tina Kunishigi, who is a great patriot. She's one of those people, one of those few that actually walks her talk. She ran for sheriff recently in Kootenai County in North Idaho, and helps sponsor awareness seminars or workshops or whatever they might be called to raise public awareness on what's really going on, how things work, how things should work, what has happened, the transition that has taken place. A lot of the things that you hear about on this broadcast and this network, she tries to, as Thomas Jefferson put it, as I would say, inform their discretion. The remedy is not to take the control from them, but to inform their discretion. So her comments, before we play the clip on this new Washington's new DUIE law, are this. Really? So if you run your fingers through your hair, like to get your long hair out of your face, is that considered grooming? This is ridiculous. I agree that people on their cell phone surfing the web, emailing or texting is dangerous and they shouldn't do it, but it's called personal responsibility and common sense. This is just one more thing to pull you over to make more revenue, or just an excuse to pull you over to search your car. So without further ado, here's the clip.
Well, your days of holding a cell phone in the car are, well, very limited, literally. Good evening, I'm Dan Kleckner.
And I'm Stephanie Vigil. In just 5 days, any use of a phone while driving in Washington State will result in what is called a DUIE, driving under the influence of electronics.
The state troopers hope this will bring the number of distracted driving deaths down to zero, but in Idaho, distracted driving is a whole different story.
Adam Mayer's story in a moment. First, let's get to Peter Maxwell. And Peter, there's very little allowed under this new law.
Right, everything from the simple scroll on Facebook while stopped at a red light to even just holding your phone is going to be now a ticketable offense. And one woman spoke at the kickoff for the DUIE event.
He was my youngest. He was my baby bear.
It was a distracted driver that killed Tina Meyer's son, Cody, hitting the 23-year-old as he was working as a flagger at a construction site in December 2015. He suffered severe injuries and died several months later. Now, Meyer is joining Governor Inslee in praising the new DUIE law that she says will send a message, especially to young drivers.
First, by teaching the new drivers coming onto our roads that this is not acceptable behavior.
The DUIE law for driving under the influence of electronics outlaws holding a cell phone at any time while driving, unless you're calling 911 in an emergency. The law even prohibits picking up the phone at stoplights. The first ticket for a DUIE will cost you $136. Get a second ticket within 5 years, and it will cost you $234. The new law also tickets drivers $99 for grooming, smoking, eating, or reading behind the wheel. Inslee says that in many cases, a distracted driver is more dangerous than a drunk driver.
When you are driving with a cell phone, you are a more dangerous driver than if you're driving drunk with a 0.08 blood alcohol level.
This is a situation we deal with on a daily basis. And despite the cost, Spokane County Sheriff's Deputy Craig Chamberlain says the new law isn't meant to punish people.
The bottom line with the the changes in this new law is we want folks to be safe on the roadway.
Now, you can use your phone while you are driving, but there's a catch. You have to have a hands-free, and it can start by a single touch or the swipe of your finger, and if you're parked out of the flow of traffic. Reporting in Spokane, Peter Maxwell, KHQ Local News.
There you have it. A disturbing trend, too, by the way, with this. Or you think about it, number of things. Again, the lady who spoke, Tina Meyer, it was a tragedy that her son was killed by a distracted driver. But again, this is the evidence used as the sales pitch. It's really unfortunate. If people like Tina actually knew that her story tugging on people's heartstrings is a surreptitious pretext to balkanization, it's a beggar thy neighbor example of balkanization, then I dare say she'd feel differently about telling her story at this moment in this context. Of course her story should be told. Of course people should take personal responsibility, as I mentioned in Tina Kunishigi's remarks regarding this story. Of course, we should all take personal responsibility and not injure one another in this kind of fashion. I mean, this is very negligent to see people injured by distracted drivers. But to use Tina Meyer's story and her story tugging on the heartstrings of the people as a sales pitch for a beggar thy neighbor law is awful. This again gets back to that laundry list, inventors of evil. We shouldn't be doing this. We should be simply taking personal responsibility. Again, if we get back to that list in 2 Peter chapter 1, for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. And again, as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You think about that simple list. This is what happens when we are raised in a biblical fashion, in accordance with biblical principles, as some would say, which is not a term that I'm particularly fond of, but just to kind of give it some context, versus what we see happening, kind of in contravention to that. We are professing to be wise, always changing. Things are always changing. We're getting smarter, but are we? Because again, I think Santayana's words should come to mind. Progress far from consisting in change. Just because things are changing. Remember, I've said it over and over. De Tocqueville observed in Democracy in America back in 1835. It was before, actually. That was when it was published. But he observed in the early 19th century already that we were a people kind of predisposed to change. We not only, most of the people of the world, kind of paraphrasing de Tocqueville, most of the people of the world are apprehensive of change. I don't know if this is a good thing, but Americans seem to love it. They embrace it. They think it's the normal. It's the new normal in the 1830s in America. Progress, though, Santayana wrote, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. When change is absolute, as in America, as in the American psyche, as in the Bernaysian psyche, When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. Think about it. Everything is changing. It's a kind of learned helplessness. It's the futility of improvement. There is no improvement. Everything's changing anyway. Why do anything? No wonder millennials want to sit on their in their parents' basement and play video games. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. So are we perpetually infantile savages in America these days? Seems we're moving more that direction. Those who cannot remember the past, Santayana wrote subsequently, are condemned to repeat it. And that is not a good thing. Not repeating the past in a good way. So, repeating the past in a good way might arguably be Proverbs 22, 28, and similar passages. I've mentioned the concept before, but Proverbs 22, 28 says, do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. This is a concept reiterated in the next chapter, Proverbs 23:10, do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless. Why? For their Redeemer, capital R, is strong. He will plead their case against you. What are we supposed to do instead? Well, continuing, apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. And then, it's interesting, the next proverb mentioned, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart is also glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Truly there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise. And direct your heart in the way. See, it all kind of goes together. See how it all goes together? So, do not move the ancient boundary. That kind of is the operative concept. All of those good things stem from that. If we're going to repeat history or the past, let's do it in Proverbs 20:28, Proverbs 20. Be right back. Second hour coming up right after a short break. Stick around. Okay.
Let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.